Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. In connection with verses 16 and 17, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains in his Anubhasya, there are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees and the unalloyed or pure devotees are to be known. All unalloyed devotees are Shakti Tattvas, or potencies of the Lord. Some of them are situated in conjugal love and others in filial affection, fraternity and servitude. Certainly, all of them are devotees, but by making a comparative study, it is found that the devotees or potencies who are engaged in conjugal love are better situated than the others. Thus, devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too become situated within the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. This gradual development of devotional service is described by Sri Narottam Das Thakur as follows. Goranga Baliti Hobi Pulaka Sharira Hari Hari Baliti Nayane Babi Nira Arkabi Nittai Chanda Karuna Karibe Sangsara Vasana Mora Kabi Tucha Hobi Vishaya Chadiya Kobi Shuda Hobi Mana Kabi Hama Herabo Sri Vrindavana Rupa Raghunata Podi Hoi Bi Akuti Kabi Hama Bhujaba Sri Yugala Puriti. When will there be eruptions on my body as soon as I chant the name of Lord Chaitanya? And when will there be incessant torrents of tears as soon as I chant the holy names Hare Krishna? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful toward me and free me from all desires for material enjoyment? When will my mind be completely freed from all contamination of desires for material pleasure? Only at that time will it be possible for me to understand Vrindavan. Only if I become attached to the instructions given by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, will it be possible for me to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. By attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic position. When he develops his love for Nityananda Prabhu, he is freed from all attachment to the material world. And at that time, he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. In that condition, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. These are the different stages of a pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha and Krishna, in an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadara Pandatadi Prabhura Shakti Avatara Antaranga Bhaktakori Ganana Yanghara. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'd like to first of all seek permission from all the devotees, especially the senior devotees present. Today's a class on Gadadhar Pandit. As we all know, in the build-up to Gaur Purnim, it's traditional at the manor to have a series of classes and on various topics. One year we were discussing the Avi or Bhav manifestations of the Lord. There were four of them, so there were four distinct classes. So this year, we're discussing the Panchatattva. And today, it's my turn to discuss about Gadadhar Pandit, who is the energy of the Lord. It's mentioned in the previous verse to this verse, Shriva Sadi Yata Koti Koti Bhaktagan, Shuddha Bhakta Tattva Maji, Tan Sabara Ganana. There are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord, headed by Srivas Thakur, who are known as unalloyed devotees. So the term for the followers of Srivas Thakur is Shuddha Bhakta, and the term for the followers of Gadadhar Pandit is Antaranga Bhakta. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati discusses those two in the purport. He doesn't make it clear in the purport, but later on in Adi Lila, Prabhupada says that all the followers of Srivas Pandit are Jiva Tattva, and the followers of Gadadhar Pandit are internal devotees, which means they are expansions of the Antaranga Shakti, which is none other than Radharani. So Gadadhar Pandit, he is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani. Now, we know that Radha and Krishna combine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyanya, and they come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see Srimati Radharani is there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but she's also there as Gadadhar Pandit. There's also another purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described that Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously the incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. There's also a confidential devotee of the Lord called Gadadhar Das Goswami. Now, in Mahanidhi's book, he explains that he is the... obviously, it's a separate personality from Gadadhar Pandit, not to be confused. And he is the duty or the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. He's an incarnation of that effulgence. So there are so many things going on. The Krishna consciousness is inconceivable. And when we read them, we try to understand them with our limited intelligence, and we find there are so many subtleties, and there are many personalities incarnating in one body, or there are sometimes one personality is incarnating simultaneously in several places, and it's all very confusing, but it's all very interesting, and we should not even attempt to understand it, because ultimately we cannot understand anything unless we receive the mercy of the Lord. We read, it said, Shabda Brahma Sudurbodham Pranindriya Manomaya. The Shabda Brahma is very purifying, and it purifies the senses. When the senses become purified, then one will automatically understand. It is not that through logic we can understand anything. Tarka pratishtanat. The actual process of logic is limited. Of course, we see logic used a lot in our scriptures, but that is different because it's devotional logic. It is the logic that the acharyas are using, and therefore it is logic that is imbued with bhakti. Therefore, it will purify by virtue of being Shabda Brahma. So, I spoke to one devotee before giving a class, and he said, there wasn't enough discussion about tattva in the previous classes. Can you talk about tattva? So I said, well, I'll try. So I went back to my house, this was yesterday, and I had a look what to say about Gadadhar in terms of tattva. And as I thought, there is very little to be found in the folio regarding tattva of Gadadhar Pandit. But there's the tattva of Srimati Radharani. If you go to the Gaudiya Granthahara, there's a whole description of Shakti Tattva. So if we try to understand Gadadhar Pandit, it may be appropriate to try and understand Srimati Radharani. As I mentioned, the followers of Gadadhar Pandit, they are incarnations of the internal potency, or Antaranga Bhakta. So we can consider in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement, Angshini Radhahoiti Tina Ganera Vistar. Just as Krishna, he is the avatari, and he has so many avatars. In the same way, Radharani, she's known as Angshini, which means she is the source of so many expansions of the internal potency. It said, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shaktiman. Radharani is the complete Shakti, Purna Shakti. Krishna is Purna Shaktiman, or Purna Shaktiman meaning the complete energetic. So just as Krishna's expands in innumerable avatars, in the same way, Srimati Radharani is expanding in so many ways. So it's understood that all those expansions, they are, as described here, they are Gadadhar Pandit Adi. They're all followers of Gadadhar Pandit. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy were discussing the various tattvas, I think it was Ramananda Roy, he said, Mahabhav Chintamani Radhara Swarup Lalitadi Shaktitara Kaya Vyuha Rupa. Now Srimati Radharani, she is the topmost spiritual gem. The word used is Mahabhav Chintamani. Mahabhav means the topmost aspect of prema. And all the other gopis, they are Kaya Vyuha Rupa, meaning they are simply expansions of her body. And why is this going on? Eko Bahusham. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer, so he expands in order to expand the pastime, to expand the enjoyment. Ultimately, the love that the other gopis have for Srimati Radharani, they can be compared to mustard seeds in comparison with the mountain of Srimati Radharani's love. But all these gopis, they assist and they make the Radha Krishna pastimes more relishable. So we should understand that these are very confidential devotees, the devotees of Gadadhar Pandit. And because they are a different tattva, because they are Shakti tattva, well actually Jiva tattva is a subdivision of Shakti tattva. But because we are Jivas, we are coming in the line of Srivas Pandit. All the followers of Srivas Pandit, they are Jiva tattva, whereas the followers of Gadadhar Pandit, they are Shakti tattva. So that's some consideration. I'm sure there's a lot more to be said about it, but I don't know. So, Gadadhar Pandit, the life story, he took birth approximately 1 year after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, and he went to school with Nimai, and Nimai used to tease him. He used to give him logical puzzles that he couldn't solve. Gadadhar Pandit, later on in life, he took sannyas. He was a kshetra sannyasi. So kshetra sannyas means you vow to live in a holy dham and never leave. There's an interesting pastime in connection with this. When Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri, he decided to go to Vrindavan. So Gadadhar Pandit, who had such an immense love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to come with him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can't come. You've taken kshetra sannyas. You're promised to stay in Jagannath Puri. So Gadadhar Pandit, he replied, Yahang Tumi, say Nilachala. Wherever you are, that is Nilachala. That is Jagannath Puri. That is the philosophy. Or like Advaita Acharya, he said something similar. He said, Tumi Yahang, say Vrindavan. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Remember that Lord Nityananda, he tricked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. So Lord Nityananda said, he told some local boys, if he asks where the Yamuna is, direct him to the Ganges. This was near Shantipur. So the children, they directed Mahaprabhu to the Ganges. And he bathed in the Ganges thinking this is the Yamuna. And then Advaita Acharya, who had been tipped off this was going to happen, he came with a boat and had some coupons to give to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, how are you in Vrindavan? So he said, Yahang Tumi, say Vrindavan. Or Tumi Yahang, say Vrindavan. Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu realized he'd been tricked. But actually Prabhupada explains that he wasn't tricked at all, because actually this is true what Advaita Acharya said. Because as the Ganges flows at Prayag, the Yamuna meets the Ganges, then the western bank of the Ganges is actually Yamuna water. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually bathing on the western bank of the Ganges. Therefore, what Advaita Acharya said was actually true. But even if he was on the other bank, it is still true, because as we understand, wherever the pure devotee is, that is Vrindavan. Give an example in the Rathyatra pastimes. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he says, Anyara ridayam mana, mora mana Vrindavan. For others, their mind is their heart. But for me, my mind is Vrindavan. Mani vani eka kori jani. I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. So this is a very profound statement. Actually, when we practice devotional service, as it says in the Shikshastika, we may have other desires in our heart. So our mind is our heart. Nadanam na janam na sundarim. What is in your heart? You may be practicing devotional service, but in your heart, maybe you have a desire for money. You desire for prestige. You may have this desire for woman. So, anyara vridayamana. For others, their mind is their heart. But when the mind becomes purified, mora mana Vrindavan, the mind becomes Vrindavan. So if we consider the purport, towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada quotes Narottam Das Thakur. And he decides this is the development of devotional service. So we start with the desire. Goranga baliti hobi pulaka sharira. We desire. We must desire this spiritual advancement. When will my hair stand on end? When I chant the name Goranga. And then the material desires are destroyed. It's sangsara vasana mora kobi tucha hobi. When will my material desires become insignificant? So this is through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Then, when the mind is purified, shuddha hobi mana, then I will understand Vrindavan. You see? So when the mind is purified, as Mahaprabhu says, mora mana Vrindavan, the mind becomes non-different from Vrindavan. It's interesting. Who are the three and a half most confidential associates of the Lord? Ramananda Roy, Madhavi Devi, Shikhi Mahati, and yes, he's one of them. And one more, Swarup Damodar. Yes. So what's interesting? Prabhupada explains that none of those devotees ever went to Vrindavan. They're all eternal associates of the Lord, but there's no record of any of them ever going to Vrindavan. So actually, Prabhupada explains there's actually no need to go to Vrindavan if you're a pure devotee. He even says if you're fixed up in service, then just by doing service, there's no loss. But if you're not fixed up, then by all means, going to the Holy Dham is wonderful and it's very purifying. And it's still the desire of the pure devotees to go, but still, there is no necessity. And the same is true of Gadadhar Pandit. He didn't go to Vrindavan. He wanted to reside in Vrindavan, but he didn't get that opportunity. Which is why, after he left the planet, one of his disciples, Nayananda, took his transcendental tooth to Vrindavan and established the Danta Samadhi of Gadadhar Pandit, which is near the Vamsi Gopal temple in Vrindavan. It's also very close to a little house where Prabhupada for some period resided. So, yeah, it's inconceivable. So, going back to the pastime, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving to go to Vrindavan, he denied Gadadhar Pandit the opportunity, saying, "You have taken Kshetra Sannyas, you must stay in Ilachala." So Gadadhar, he replied, he said, "But just by seeing you, I derive so much bliss and I want to come with you. I cannot bear separation." Mahaprabhu said, "You have made a vow to serve Gopinath." So in Jagannath Puri, there's a Tota Gopinath temple, and Gadadhar Pandit was serving Tota Gopinath. He said, "You have vowed to serve Gopinath. Therefore, you cannot break this vow." So Gadadhar, he replied, he said, "Just by seeing your feet, I derive thousands of times more benefit than the service of Gopinath." But Mahaprabhu, he wouldn't accept these answers and he left. And at that time, due to deep separation, Gadadhar Pandit fell unconscious. Actually, this was not only deep separation on the part of Gadadhar Pandit, but also Mahaprabhu, he also felt deep separation. So much so that when he returned, he didn't actually manage to get to Vrindavan. And when he returned, he said, "I didn't make it to Vrindavan because I was missing Gadadhar Pandit so much." And at that time, Gadadhar Pandit said, "Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan, that is Yamuna, that is Ganga, and all the Tirthas, they're all present." So he gave the same answer as last time. Actually, one of the names of Krishna is Tirthapad. Tirthapad meaning all places of pilgrimage reside at the feet of the Lord. So all these pastimes, we should understand them to be as simply pastimes, because all these personalities are in complete transcendental consciousness, and wherever they go, that is a holy place. They cannot leave the holy place because they are the personification of holy places. Tirti kurvanti tirtani svantastena gatabrita. As Yudhisthira says to Vidura, that you, holy personalities, pure devotees, they are personified places of pilgrimage, and they make these places pure. Tirti kurvanti, meaning that the holy people, when they come, the sadhus, they come to places like Vrindavan, they actually purify these holy dams of the sinful reactions that accumulate when other conditioned souls bathe in the holy rivers. Gadadhar Pandit, he was in deep separation. He couldn't bear to be without the Lord. The Lord is trying to go to Vrindavan, and Gadadhar Pandit is denied this opportunity. So at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said to Gadadhar Pandit, he said, just as Lord Krishna broke his vow in order to uphold the vow of Bhishma, in the same way, he is sacrificing your association in order to uphold your vow. He doesn't want you to break your vow of Kshetra Sannyas. So this is a beautiful pastime, and there's a verse in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam where Bhishma describes how Krishna broke his vow to uphold Bhishma's vow. So what is the meaning of this? Who knows the pastime? Okay, well, actually, yeah, he took the chariot wheel, which was like a chakra. Yeah, so the pastime is that during the Battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma was the leader of the Kaurava army. He had been appointed the leader by Duryodhana. And one evening, Duryodhana, he came to Bhishma, and he said, you know, you have not killed the Pandavas. What is going on here? He said, are you feeling compassion for them? Are you feeling hatred for me? He goes, if that is the case, then you step down, because Karna has already vowed that he will kill the Pandavas. So when Duryodhana said this, Bhishma, it pierced his heart. And what he did was he took five arrows and he started chanting Vedic mantras. He was right in front of Duryodhana, and he imbued those arrows with his ascetic powers. Bhishma had unprecedented ascetic powers. And by empowering those arrows, these arrows were guaranteed to be successful. Not even Lord Indra could counteract those arrows. So he made a vow. He said, tomorrow I will kill the five Pandavas. Now at that time, Duryodhana was in ecstasy, but he became very frightened, and he wanted to keep hold of those arrows just in case something happened. So he said to Bhishma, you give me those arrows, tomorrow morning I will return them. So he took the arrows. Now Krishna, being the super soul, he knew exactly what was going on. So he spoke to Arjuna. He said to Arjuna, he said, remember the time in the forest when the Kauravas were conquered by Gandharvas. Now you came and you helped the Kauravas. Now at that time, Duryodhana gave you a boon. So now is the time to ask for a boon. So he told Arjuna, you ask Duryodhana for those five arrows. So Arjuna went to the Kaurava camp. He had no armor. I don't think we would do it nowadays. Nowadays, fighting is so dirty that the leader would never dare to go to the enemy camp, right? But in those days, Kshatriya rules were followed. So he went unarmed, and he spoke to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana laughed. But didn't ask. Before he asked the question, he laughed. He said, if you want the whole kingdom, I will give it to you now. But he was just being facetious. So Arjuna, he reminded him, remember that time we helped you in the forest? Duryodhana cringed. Ah, yes, I remember. You gave me a boon, and now I want to ask for it. So he asked for the five arrows. And Duryodhana, he's like, what could he do? He'd made his vow, so he made his promise, so he handed the arrows to Arjuna. So the next morning, Bhishma's waiting for the five arrows. So Duryodhana explains what happened. And Bhishma, he's half laughing, because he understands Krishna. You cannot defeat Krishna. He knows. He already told Duryodhana, look, there's nothing you can do here. Krishna is supporting the Pandavas, and it is, this war is your own doing. You have made the mistake. Therefore, It is destiny. But I will try my best. I will fight for you as best I can. So at that time, Bhishma's thinking, ah, Krishna has made me break my vow. I vowed to kill the 5 Pandavas, and he has made me break that vow, because without those arrows, I am unable to do it. So he made another vow. He said, today, either I will kill Arjuna, or I will force Krishna to break his vow. He has vowed that he will not take part in the battle. He will not actually take a weapon. He will not fight. He will be the chariot driver, but he will not fight. I will make him break that vow, or else I will kill Arjuna. So that day, Bhishma fought like no one had ever fought before. And he was routing the Pandava army. So much chaos. And the situation became so severe that Bhishma was on the brink of killing Arjuna. So then just at that time, Krishna, he jumped off the chariot, picked up a chariot wheel, and he started rushing towards Bhishma. And at that time, Bhishma was in ecstasy. And he's thinking, finally, the Lord, you know, he has broken his vow in order to uphold my vow. And Bhishma dropped his weapons. He said, kill me now. This would be a great honor if you kill me right now. Of course, Krishna didn't do so. But at that same time, Arjuna, he jumped off the chariot and he's running after Krishna. Stop, Krishna, you've made a vow. And he grabs his legs. But Krishna's still running and dragging Arjuna behind him. Eventually, Krishna stops. But by that time, he'd already broken his vow. So this is what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was explaining to Gadadhara Pandit. The Lord, he loves you so much that he does not want you to break your vow of sannyas. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Actually, after the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Mahaprabhu departed around the age of 48, he passed on the worship of Tota Gopinath to Gadadhara Pandit. And it's said that due to separation, Gadadhara Pandit aged very, very quickly. So much so that he could no longer place a garland on Tota Gopinath. So Tota Gopinath, he then sat down. The deity sat down just to facilitate the worship of Gadadhara Pandit. So that's considered, I think that's the only deity of Krishna that is sitting. And as I mentioned, after Gadadhara departed, which was shortly after, he departed around a year later, then Nayananda took his tooth and established the samadhi in Vrindavan. So these are some considerations of the duties of Gadadhara Pandit as the sannyas. So let us talk about the initiation of Gadadhara Pandit. That's a wonderful pastime as well. So the story goes that while residing in Navadvip, sometimes in devotional ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would call out, Pundarik, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, my father, where are you? Now Pundarik Vidyanidhi is an incarnation of Brishabhanu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, is calling out for her father. So the devotees, they didn't understand, who is this Pundarik? We don't know who he is. Now one devotee did know, and that was Mukunda. Because Mukunda, he came from a place in Bangladesh called Chattagram, which is the place where Pundarik Vidyanidhi resided. So he knew who Pundarik was. And because the Lord had this desire to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, within the heart of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he inspired him to leave Chattagram and come to Navadvip. So he came to Navadvip. And this Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a very, very advanced devotee. He's very learned, very much full of devotion. But only Mukunda knew this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The other devotees, they don't know. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was living incognito in Navadvip. So one day, Mukunda, who was a dear friend of Gadadhara Pandit, he spoke to Gadadhara. He said, you have always desired to have the association of very advanced devotees. Today I will fulfill that desire. I will take you to a devotee, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who's very, very advanced. So Gadadhara Pandit was very enlivened to hear this. So Mukunda, he took Gadadhara Pandit to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So when he arrived, he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi as dressed like a prince. He had mirrors, and he was looking in the mirrors. He was eating pan, so his lips were very red, and he was smiling in the mirror, looking at his reflection. He had several servants who were fanning him. He had little pots full of different perfumed oils. His hair was lovely styled. He was sitting on silk-covered pillows. He had a beautiful bed with so much ornate decoration. So in the mind of Gadadhar, the thought arose, and what kind of devotee is this? I was expecting a very advanced devotee. This is a very materialistic devotee. So Mukunda, he knew the mind of Gadadhar. So then he started reciting some verses from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bhakiyam stanakalakutam jikangshaya payaya dapyasadvi lebegatim tatruchitam tadonyam kamvadoyalam sharanam brajema. I cannot find anyone as merciful as Lord Sri Krishna. The she demon Putana came to kill him, to feed him poison, and yet he still offered her the position of mother in the spiritual world. So when Pundarik Vijayanidhi heard this, tears started flowing from his eyes. He started shaking and he fell on the ground unconscious. Then he woke up again. He revived his consciousness and he started begging Gadadhar. He started begging Mukunda, speak more, speak more. He had such deep love for the Srimad Bhagavatam. It said in the 11th canto, Tava vikriditam Krishna nrinam paramamangalam kanapayusham asajya chijanchanya spiham janaha. That these pastimes of Krishna, they're like an intoxicating beverage. And when they enter the ear, all other desires are vanquished. So this is the symptom of the pure devotee. So Pundarik Vijayanidhi, his love, his devotion was so rich that just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he couldn't control his own ecstasies. It's described that there are levels of ecstasy. One can control some levels of ecstasy, but when the ecstasy becomes so strong, it becomes impossible to hide the symptoms. So this is the case of Pundarik Vijayanidhi. This is an example. We should understand the wonderful rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam, that every word, every sloka, every syllable is filled with Krishna prema. It said, Krishna tulya bhagavata vibhu sarva shraya prati shloki prati akshari nana artahoya. The Srimad Bhagavatam is equal to Krishna. It is vibhu, meaning it is not like infinite, it's infinite. Vibhu, it is infinite. And sarva shraya, it is actually the abode of everything. And prati shloki prati akshari nana artahoya. In every syllable, in every word, in every shloka, in every chapter, complete, it is nana artahoy, full of complete meanings, never ending. We know that Mahaprabhu, he would read over and over again, or he would hear over and over again the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. And every time he heard it, he would experience newer and newer ecstasy. Vayam tu navatripyama uttama shloka vikrami yirachchunvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. Those who are advanced, the rasagyas, they are never satisfied hearing the pastimes of Krishna. It just creates newer and newer thirst within them. So we see this in the example of Pundarik Vijayanidhi. Just he heard one or two shlokas and he's feeling ecstasy, so much so that he cannot contain himself. And then he became unconscious again and he started kicking. In his ecstasy, he was thrashing around. So all the very nice arrangements in his room were all spoiled. The pots were shattered, the bed, the clothes, all disarrayed. And at that time, Gadadhar Pandit was watching, and he was absolutely amazed. And he thanked Mukunda. He said, I thank you so much for bringing me, and I thank you so much for correcting me. Because in my mind, I was thinking, here is an ordinary materialistic person. But you have shown me that actually this is a very, very deep personality. So therefore it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabhujaya. No one can understand the activities and the words and the gestures of a Vaishnav. Actually, this is a statement that Prabhupada would often give, and it's based on a statement from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the second line is Tanra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabujaya. I wasn't actually going to quote the sloka, but then I noticed Gorkapal was suddenly nodding his head. Yes, yes, yes. So I was trying to think that this is coming from another sloka. The second line is Tanra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Nabujaya. The words, the kriya, the activities, and the mudra, the gestures of a devotee, they cannot be understood. Actually, it's Yanya Chitti Krishna Prema Karaye Udaya. In one in whose mind Krishna Prema has arisen, that person you cannot understand them at all. So Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he was living, no one incognito, no one understood, but actually, by the mercy of Mukunda, Gadadhar Pandit understood. So therefore, he said to Mukunda, I've committed an offence, and I want to atone for this, and I think the best way is to take initiation from Pundarik Vijayanidhi. So as I mentioned earlier, Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he is Brishabhanu, who is the father of Radharani, and Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. So Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he accepted his daughter, so to speak, from Krishna Leela, as his disciple. So this is a wonderful pastime. We have 5 minutes left. Shall we stop here? Well, we have someone has raised their hand, so I have now stopped, so Hare Krishna.